Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 8th day of January 2021. And it's not as if those that have all kinds of end times theories and predictions and conspiracy theories and all kinds of things in the nature of predictions of the return of Christ and the end of the world, it's not like they need any help coming up with these fantastical ideas that the end is with certainty right around our corner. But the rise of leftism in America, in fact globally, has given even more ammunition for those who believe the end is very near, literally, to start making the warnings that they have been making for centuries. And it is always, eventually, when enough time elapses, to the great embarrassment of the body of Christ. But we have someone to discuss this today. For the first hour, we have Gary DeMar of American Vision to discuss this. In the second hour, to continue the same theme, is Dr. Joe Moorcraft, who is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. They will both be discussing, does the current rise of the leftist tyranny mean the end is near? And first of all, let me welcome to the program once again one of my favorite guests of all time, the president of American Vision, Gary DeMar.
Good to be back with you, Chris. It's been a little while.
Yes, it has, and I am so glad that you are recovering from your health issues and that you are recovering so well that your wife said, "Enough is enough. I'm sick and tired of you hearing you whine and complain. You can't use it as an excuse anymore."
Yeah, I said, "You have to bring something up," and I tell her, "I said, Carol, come on. I just had my left kidney taken out. I mean, give me some slack here." But geez, anyway, it's all done in jest. So, but anyway, I can't. I could use it maybe like 2 hours after I got home from the hospital, and that was the end of that. But no, I'm back, and I'll tell you, you have to marvel at what has happened in the medical profession. I know a lot of people are so critical of the medical profession, and there's, you know, everything, there's always something to complain about. Nobody's perfect. It's just the nature of things, but you know, years ago when I had a cancerous growth on my left kidney, and because it was right smack dab in the middle of my kidney, right where the blood vessels, came in, that there was no way to excise the growth without severely damaging the kidney. And so I had my whole kidney removed. And years ago, they would essentially just kind of slice you from your back to your front on the side, remove a couple of ribs and go through muscle and so forth to extract a kidney. And now they use, it's a robot. In fact, you can look it up online, the Da Vinci robot. And they just make little, you know, incisions and insert, instruments basically underneath all the muscle and the tendons and so forth. And, the doctor sits in front of a console. He can see everything because the camera goes in first. And of course, and then they, to extract the kidney by making a little larger incision, take all that out. I was up and walking around the day of the surgery. I was home in 2 days. And, it's amazing. It's just amazing what can be done, today. And so we as Christians should be thankful for all these advancements, in the medical field.
Well, I'm going to give our listeners right away, because you can only be on with us for the first hour, I'm going to give our listeners right away our email address if you have any questions or comments about this very timely theme. Does the current rise of leftist tyranny mean the end is near? chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence. If you live outside of the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. So, Gary, have you heard of any new end-time theories, predictions, prophecies as a result of the victory of Joe Biden? And when I say that, I don't mean to convey the idea that I think he legitimately won the presidency. Although I'm not totally ruling that out either, but I seriously doubt it. But he is right now the president of the United States, and
it's not that I've seen or heard of any particular, date for this or that. I think there was one. I think somebody posted a date. It's just the kind of, and this isn't everybody. Just keep this in mind. I've just noticed that so many people are, and this is mostly on Facebook, are making these statements about, this, this is all, this is just, everything is lining up for the return of Jesus and the rapture of the church. And it's just like, come on, people, where have you been on all of this? Now, this isn't to dismiss or to lay aside the fiasco of this last election. It's just like this has been going on for literally for centuries, almost two millennia. Something bad politically comes up, a war takes place, and immediately in fact, there's an article here. I don't know if I can find it. Yeah, real quick. It's called The Comedy of Errors. And this guy writes, Mussolini, Hitler, and Stalin did more to expose the errors of some of our futuristic interpreters of Daniel and Revelation than any three persons this side of perdition. It has been amusing to watch some of our fundamentalist friends hopping around from one position to another like a tomcat on a hot rock in their frustration and desperation to make the swift changing world events conform to the unscriptural futuristic interpretation of the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation. And I'm not real sure, I don't know if I've got the date for this, but it isn't anything recent that this article was 1983. So this article was published in 1983, and it's kind of funny, and it goes through these examples about people making these predictions. But that's the thing, you go back, Adolf Hitler rises to power, and I have a very, very large library, and in particular, I have a very large library on prophetic materials as well as file cabinets full of articles. And the same types of things you're hearing today about the Biden presidency, the Democrats, the cancel culture, and so forth, have been in the news in the 20th century. And even like the Left Behind novels, there was a series of Left Behind like novels almost 100 years ago. So what we're seeing here is nothing new. And of course, Hal Lindsey came out with his book in 1970, The Late Great Planet Earth. Laid out all the things. Russia was the bad guy and so forth. And it gets very frustrating because I think what it does, it immobilizes Christians because they said, well, this is a prophetic inevitability. Not much we can do about this except for to pray. And it diminishes the integrity of the Bible as well.
Yeah, let me also do a little damage control here about something I said. When I said that I held out some possibility that Joe Biden legitimately won the election, I don't mean by that that I believe there was no fraud involved. I'm just saying that there's a, I'm just holding out a possibility that even despite fraud, which I am convinced there was much of it, that he may have won legitimately, but I'm not even concerning myself with that right now. I'm just saying that this has been possibly the spawning of another or more end times theories. Now, why do you think that this is so harmful to the body of Christ? Why is this harmful to our witness to the lost? Why is it harmful to humanity in general to come up with these predictions that, that Christ is certainly returning soon? I mean, I am, let me also make it clear to my listeners, even though I love Gary and have him on frequently, I am not yet convinced of postmillennialism. I'm an optimistic amillennialist. I do believe that there is a possibility of Christ returning at any time, but I share the abhorrence that Gary has and that many postmillennialists have of people popping up with false predictions of Christ's soon return and the end of the world being very soon because of current events that are taking place, especially knowing that things have been far worse in our history than they are right now. But if you could, Gary, pick up on why is this such a harmful thing?
Well, first of all, you don't have to be a postmillennialist to be critical of, this isn't so much date setting, no one is setting a date, but this perennial claim that all the signs are lining up, that Jesus has to be, his coming has to be near, it's gotta be near. And because you've had critics from all different types of millennial perspectives, pre-mill, all-mill, and post-mill, so this isn't anything new. The criticisms of this type of thing have been around for a very long time. And what it does, first of all, calls into question the authority of the Bible. You got Christians going out there and said everything's lining up for the, you know, for the second coming of the Christ or the rapture. And here what I read was something from 1983. That's almost 40 years ago. And someone comes up and says, wait a minute, you said this 40 years ago. And in fact, we published a book called The Day and the Hour. People said that 60 years ago. People said it 80 years ago. People said it 100 years ago, 150, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 years ago, using the same Bible verses that people are using today. This is like the boy who cried wolf. You do this enough, and a lot of people just completely dismiss the Bible as authoritative because it's continually used to make the same case for something that people have made in the past. And also, I just think it's bad theology. The passages that they're looking at, you know, claiming that these line up with what's taking place today, I don't think there's any support for it. And you made the point as well. Historically, things have been a whole lot worse in the world. I mean, we went through two world wars in the 20th century, and of course, prophetic speculators were rampant, you know, back then. We had, you know, communism, atheistic communism. Think about Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe was officially atheistic for the longest time because of the advance of communism. And yet you will find many, many countries in Eastern Europe, like Hungary and Poland, being much more theologically astute on the abortion issue than we are here in the United States. Now, the United States isn't the kingdom of God. If the United States goes communistic and so forth, that doesn't mean it's the end of the world and Jesus is coming back soon. There are probably more Christians in China than there are here in the United States. And we have no idea what's happening in the continent of Africa in terms of Christianity.
And you're speaking of legitimate, regenerate, genuine Christianity.
Oh yeah, I was in. My wife and I with about 20 other people were in China a number of years ago, and it was amazing the number of Christians we met over there. Really rock solid Christians meeting in homes. They would put Christians in the United States, you know, to shame, especially the men. We were just flabbergasted to see how strong they were in the faith, college students and so forth. So there is, and of course, I think that's why you're seeing the persecution of Christians taking place in China, because it's fearful. They're fearful of these Christians. And in fact, one of the reasons we were asked to go over there was to assure the Chinese governments in these various provinces that Christianity is not a revolutionary faith. We don't extend the kingdom through the power of the sword. And so I think the Chinese government is relatively fearful of Christianity, because they see it like Pontius Pilate saw it in the way that Jesus was being purposed, you know, by his enemies. So he's a king. He's going to come over here and he's going to take. He's going to have, he has these zealots, and of course Peter has a sword and so forth and so on. So anyway, we don't know what's going on around the world. And there's a passage out of 2 Timothy that I quote on a regular basis, which is, of course, 2 Timothy is the second epistle written to Timothy. And this is written directly to Timothy. And I find people quoting this particular passage down through verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, but realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. Paul is not talking about some distant event. He's talking about the last days of the old covenant that was coming to a close, which is the book of Hebrews is all about. And he talks about men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, and a reading from the New American Standard Version. Revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. But it goes on and on and on, all the way down to verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you find people saying, see, this is what's taking place in our day. But that's not what Paul was writing to Timothy about. He was writing to Timothy about what was taking place in his day. But you can't stop at verse 7. And goes to verse 8. And just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected as regards the faith. And so Jannes and Jambres were the two sorcerer high priests who confronted Moses and Aaron when Moses and Aaron confronted Pharaoh. So they came in with literally a dead stick in their hand. That's all they had. And the threat of judgment from God, and confronted the most powerful emperor kingdom in the world at that time. And what happens in the next verse? But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, as also that of those two came to be. So in the midst of crisis, in the midst of unbelief, in the midst of treacherous, reckless conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, etc. But Paul says here, they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all. As unbelievers become more and more consistent with their unbelieving thought, the only thing that can happen to them is self-destruction. And I won't read the rest of the chapter, but Paul tells Timothy what he needs to do while this inevitable collapse takes place. And unfortunately, Christians just kind of sit back and say, well, Jesus is coming soon. All we can do is just pray and wait for the return of Jesus. There's nothing we can do to change anything. That is not a scriptural attitude at all.
Now, there is a phenomenon that does exist where some people take a 180-degree opposite position to what you just said, that they're not saying why bother polishing the brass on a sinking ship, but they elevate politics and governing authorities, even though they might not ever say this or admit that they think this, but they elevate our hope in politics to such a high degree that they make idols and even messiahs out of elected officials. I mean, there are people who I believe were bordering on that, if not even leaping far over the border of making Trump out to be an idol or a little messiah or a big messiah.
I I've been doing this for a long time, and I know a lot of people, as you know, I wrote three books called God and Government, which is now in one volume. And so I've been in the midst of all of this. And I have to say that all the people I know, and the reason Christians voted for Trump, and the people I know about, I can't speak for everyone, they were sick and tired of the Republicans making these promises about what they were going to do. Now, keep in mind, my involvement in politics is not to take over politics and use the power of government to then put in our worldview. My whole thing has always been about getting involved in politics to decrease the power of civil government, to return things to the states and the counties, to stop the spending, stop the war, stop giving away our money to foreign governments, that all it does is just makes them the people dependent upon on foreign powers and so forth. Bring our troops home and so forth. That's not a messianic way of looking at government. And again, all the people I've talked to these Republicans have been talking big time about all this stuff they're going to do. And keep in mind, when Trump became president in 2016. We had the Senate, we had the House of Representatives, and the GOP, for the most part, didn't do anything. They didn't attempt to drain the swamp. They opposed Donald Trump on so many different things. I really don't believe that the vast, vast majority of people who voted Donald Trump saw him as a messianic figure. And a lot of them saw him as kind of a Cyrus of a figure. But even that, I think even the word, Messiah was attributed to them as kind of a temporary savior, like you find in the book of Judges. But again, I think it was the frustration level of Republicans, and we can see it right now. We got Ben Sasse, continuing to complain about Donald Trump, who's out of office, when the literal political enemy that we have right now is the Democrat Party. And I'm sorry if there are some listeners on here who voted for the Democrats, but the Democrat Party, its policies are contrary to almost everything Christians, should be believing in.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, supporting, killing unborn babies, forcing us as our tax dollars to fund this, supporting transgenderism and saying that men who claim to be women can now compete in women's sports. I mean, this is beyond politics. This is insanity.
And in fact, Biden's satanic approval of children, even preteens, getting surgery and hormone therapy to so-called change their gender, as if that were possible. This is insane. I mean, it's insane. It's satanic. And by the way, I never meant to give the impression that I think the majority, by any stretch of the imagination, of Trump supporters viewed him that way. I'm just saying that there can exist a tendency to be on the opposite extreme of not wanting to polish the brass on a sinking ship.
Yeah, I agree. But again, you can see a problem in one area, and the solution is to swing the pendulum so far in the other area as to say, well, now this fixes the problem. It doesn't fix the problem. I'll give you a good example of this from the Old Testament. When Israel got into the land, they suffered their first defeat at Ai. And it was because of that. As a result, it was the first time that a number of Israelites, were killed in this. Of course, God had promised them I'm going to give you the land. It's yours. And all of a sudden, oh my, we just lost some of our men here. And verse 6 of Joshua chapter 7, it says, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, why didst thou ever bring this people over the Jordan, only to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say, since Israel has turned their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it, and they will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do for thy great name? Now, the first thing, of course, a lot of Christians say, we need to pray about all this. And I agree. We need to pray about this. But let's listen to what God said. Verse 10 of Joshua chapter 7. So the Lord said to Joshua, rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. Basically, what you're seeing here is, get to work and fix the problem. You've prayed, you've been on your face, now it's time to get up and get to work. And unfortunately, I just think there are a lot of Christians out there who have this kind of super spirituality out there. You know, I'm praying, and that's all we can do right now is pray. You know, this is, you know, Romans 13, which is supposed to go along with whatever the government says we ought to do. We just need to go along. That's just plain nonsense. The Bible does not teach that at all. And so the full context of that, of this, is very, very important. So you got people on one side saying, you know, the end is near, Jesus is coming back soon, all the signs are there, we shouldn't polish brass on a sinking ship. And the other people say, oh, we don't want to get too involved, you know, politically, because we're going to turn it into an idol, so all we're going to do is over here and pray. You put the whole thing together, and there's a middle solution to this. I hate to say it's a middle solution to it, but it's a more biblical solution because it takes in the full context of what God's Word says about the situation that we're in right now. We're in the position we're in right now because millions of Christians don't vote. Millions of Christians aren't involved in politics. Millions of Christians don't have the slightest idea anything about economics. They have false perceptions of separation between church and state. You can't impose your morality on other people. We're not supposed to judge. It goes on and on and on. And so there's a great deal, I think, of ignorance among Christians about, you know, how to deal with evil when it comes.
In fact, we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody wants to join us, chrisarnson@gmail.com is the email address. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Gary DeMar after these messages.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, Gary DeMar is our guest for the first hour to discuss a very important theme. Does the rise, the current rise of leftist tyranny mean that the end is near? And if you want to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And you said before the break that you reluctantly were going to use a phrase, there is a middle way to approach this situation by avoiding the lunacy of extremes on both ends of the spectrum, if you want to pick up where we left off.
Well, again, I just think that both of them are wrong on their face, and there's no way to say, oh, we're going to take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I just think this preoccupation with the end times, Christians just need to get out of it. It's been done and overdone. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that young Christians don't know that this has been done before, and how bad it is. I mean, go back to this article that's called The Comedy of Errors that was written in 1983. And he writes, in 1934, Benito Mussolini sent his black-shirted fascists down into defenseless Ethiopia. And preachers all over the country got up in their pulpits and preached spellbinding sermons that had their congregations bulging at the eyes in astonishment about Mussolini, the Antichrist. Well, insert here, there was a book that was published in 1926 by Oswald Smith that Mussolini was the Antichrist. And, of course, and the author of this article goes on to say, and to prove their point, they quoted from Daniel 11:43, which says, and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. Later, Benito, whimpering, was hung by his own countrymen, and preachers all over America had to toss their sermons into the scrap basket as unscriptural. Now, Oswald J. Smith, when he went out and spoke after, of course, this happened, he would attempt to buy back copies of his book because it was so wrong. And the passages that people are using today in an attempt to say that this person is the Antichrist or this event is an indication that Jesus is coming soon, they were using the same passages back then. And, you know, Mussolini back then seemed to be the Antichrist because a lot of people believed that the Antichrist is going to come up out of the Roman Empire. Then on March 11th, 1938, Adolf Hitler sent his brown-shirted Nazi stormtroopers into Austria. Then he took Czechoslovakia, Poland, France, North Africa, and the Holocaust of World War II was raging like the fires of the netherworld. Preachers all over America got up in their pulpits and preached spellbinding sermons that had their congregations bulging at the eyes about Hitler the Antichrist. Then the Anglo-Saxon Israel nations drove Hitler out of North Africa, out of Italy, out of France, out of Belgium, out of the Netherlands, out of Norway, out of this world, and preachers all over America had to toss their sermons in the scrap basket as unscriptural. And here we go again. You know, people, I always wanted to write kind of a book taking the other position and making just taking all the passages and all the events that are taking place today and write a book trying to make that case and see if I could get it published by a major Christian publishing company. And I probably could. I could make a case for it based upon the way this works if you take scripture passages out of context, don't pay attention to the time text, don't pay attention to the audience, don't pay attention to the history. We have just got to quit doing this. And at the same time, we need to do more than just sit down and say, I'm just going to pray about it. We're just supposed to go along with whatever the government says. This is based upon Romans, Romans chapter 13 and other passages in Peter, in Timothy as well. That is not a biblical approach. The Apostle Paul, if you go to Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul was and Silas were beaten for their for what they were doing. And then later the jailer is converted. And then notice what happens next. And it says, when the day came, the chief magistrate sent their policemen saying, "Release those men." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The chief magistrates have sent to release you. Now therefore, come out and go in peace." Now you would think Paul would say, "Hey, this is great. Thank you for doing that. You know, we want to be persecuted for Christ. That's just the way it's supposed to be." But listen to what Paul did, what he said. "But Paul said to them, 'They have beaten us in public without trial, men who are Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now are they sending us away secretly? No, indeed. But let them come themselves and bring us out.' And the policemen reported these words to the chief magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and appealed to them, and when they had brought them out, they kept begging them to leave the city. And they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia, and when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed." The Apostle Paul didn't say, "Hey, this is just what, you know, we're going to be persecuted for our faith. We're just supposed to go along with what the government has to say." You don't find Paul doing this here. Paul called them out. He was a Roman citizen. He had rights as a Roman citizen. Our Caesar is the Constitution of the United States. And the First Amendment to the Constitution says that we have the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. We don't have to sit back and, because Joe Biden or anyone else is president, and whatever their laws that they impose do, we just have to go along with it. No, we can petition the government for redress of grievances. We can protest against them. We can vote them out of office. We can speak freely about this. We can force them to live consistently with their views. We can call on Congress people who say they took an oath to uphold the Constitution and are not following that oath. We can call for a recall, we can call for an impeachment, and all that sort of thing. We don't have to be silent in the midst of what's going on in our culture today. One of the biggest problems I think Christians embrace today, this idea that whatever the government is in power at that time, that we just have to endure it. That is not the biblical way.
Okay, we have Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania, who says, "I have said this myself and know plenty of pious, Bible-believing Christians who do not fall into the extreme categories on either end. We do not come up with all kinds of scenarios and predictions of Christ returning soon, but at the same time, I have said, and many that I know and love have said, 'Please, Lord Jesus, come.' We have a desire for him to return soon within our lifetimes. That does not mean we believe that certainly will happen. And I was wondering if you think that attitude is wrong."
I just think it's misplaced. I think when you read the book of Revelation about Lord come, it's not talking about some end time world shattering event. The coming that's being discussed there in the book of Revelation, the very last chapter, and elsewhere in Scripture, it deals with the coming of Jesus in judgment against Jerusalem that took place before that generation passed away. If you read the book of Acts, the biggest enemy of the church in the book of Acts was not the Roman Empire. It was the unbelieving Judaizers who wanted to kill Christians. Paul was one of them. Read Acts chapter 7 and Acts chapter 8, and Paul brings this up all the time. They wanted to kill Paul. It was the Roman Empire initially that actually protected the church. And so the coming of that's being mentioned there, "Come, Lord Jesus," isn't talking about the end of the world coming, or this supposedly the rapture of the church coming. It's the coming of Jesus in judgment to put an end to the old covenant, to lay it aside, get the temple out of the way, animal sacrifices, priesthood, the earthly sinful priesthood. That was to be swept clean. That's the coming that's being mentioned there. This idea that that particular passage is dealing with the end of the world coming of Jesus, I think is misplaced.
Now, to follow up on the listener's question, if someone is not obsessed with that and they're not caught up in escapism, just wanting to be off this planet now, and that is something that is a constant thought in their heads, isn't it appropriate to prefer Christ to return while we are alive as we witness things that are satanic and horrific and troubling to our consciences and souls?
I think we go back to Joshua chapter 7. Get up. There's evil in the camp and fix it. This idea that, I think that's what Joshua was probably saying. Look, Lord, come and do something here. And God told Joshua, you do something. You're the problem. One of the reasons we're in this mess today is because a lot of Christians decided they're not going to be involved in the political sphere to put it on the right track. And I just think God's telling us, it's your problem. Fix it. I'm here. I'm the sovereign God, but you are responsible for the world in which the world I gave you, and you need to get to work to fix these things. If you have kids in public schools, look, you want to change your culture. Get your kids out of government schools. Why in the world are Christians sending their children to the very schools that are brainwashing them with propaganda? There's something you can fix. Yeah, you're free to do this. You're free to take your kids out of public school, and you can either homeschool them. If your church doesn't, your church is probably vacant 90% of the week. You got classrooms that sit empty. You can start a school and so forth. God says, get to work here. It's kind of like God told us with COVID idea. Look at this. This COVID thing basically told you, you can educate your children. There are all kinds of programs out there where you can educate your children at home. And I know it's costly. We did it. We went without so we could send our children to Christian school. We homeschooled for a while. But if there's sin in the world, you can pray to God to give you wisdom on how to fix it. But I just think it's a mistake. It's misguided to say, Lord, come and rescue us from out of this. I just don't think you find that in the Bible. That's just my opinion. I wrote a book called Last Days Madness. You want to get my position on these things. If you look at Revelation chapter 22, it says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen, come Lord Jesus. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. So the coming that's being referenced here isn't what we would call the second coming. It was this promised coming in judgment. If you look at chapter 22, verse 10, and the angel said to John, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Near for what? Near for the end of the old covenant, to finally come to an end. That was, if you look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13, the writer to the Hebrews was outlining what, in fact, was about to take place. Hebrews 8:13, and when he said, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete, but whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. That's what the New Testament is talking about when it talks about the coming of the Lord being near, coming quickly, taking place soon, before that generation passed away. That's what it's dealing with. I don't believe we should be praying that, Lord, come and rescue us from this. Rescue us from a problem that we've kind of participated and allowed to happen on our own. And we could do many, many things to try to fix it. And unfortunately, many of us, don't. We don't know what to do or how to do it.
We have an anonymous listener who says, I am constantly being accused by my closest friends and brothers and sisters in Christ that my postmillennialism actually leads to a belief that our human effort is going to bring about global salvation and hasten the return of Christ when the church, when the world is Christianized. I find it ironic that they would say that our efforts, in our opinion, is bringing these things about, since most postmillennialists I know are Calvinists, and we don't even believe that our unaided will can bring about our own salvation, let alone anyone else's. Do you have a response to those who make that accusation, and have you ever heard it?
Yeah, I've heard it. It's typical. And the problem is with it, it's not consistent. When we fix our families, and educate our children and so forth, are we doing this on man's efforts? When we go and build a house for somebody who is homeless and so forth, is that man's efforts that's doing that? Of course it is. I mean, you don't pray and ask God to build that house magically. It is effort to do that. I mean, come on. When you have a business and you have to put money into that business, you got to work 70 or 80 hours a week, and you've got to go without. Is that man's effort? Sure, it's man's effort. But you're doing it for the glory of God. You're doing it in terms of His principles and so forth. But all of a sudden, when you get into the realm of politics and you want to change something related to politics, no, that's man's efforts. We're going to try to bring in the kingdom. We're already in the kingdom. This is God's kingdom right now. God is calling us to account within the confines of His kingdom. There are unbelievers in this kingdom who are screwing things up, and there are Christians in this kingdom who should be about fixing what's been screwed up. So we're not bringing in the kingdom. And then if we as Christians, do we believe in the power of the gospel to transform lives? I know my life was certainly transformed in 1973. I am so much a different person, and everything I put my hands to today is transformational. It's a misrepresentation of postmillennialism, and it's not consistent, because we do all kinds of things in our own strength, because that's what God has called us to do.
Yes.
God has called us to fix things, and yes. He has given us the specifics on how to do that.
Amen. Well, Gary, as I always do, I hope that you one day return for a full 2 hours on the show, because the time is already over. And
Joe Moorcraft, he's very good on this as well.
Oh yes, of course.
I haven't seen Joe in a while, but I know we think a lot alike on all this.
No, I'm sure you do. And I want to make sure that our listeners have your contact information if you want to find out more about American Vision, the ministry where Gary DeMar serves as president. Go to AmericanVision.org, AmericanVision.org. Thank you so much, Gary, for being a part of our program today.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
God bless. And don't go away, folks. As you just heard, our second guest is going to be Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, joining us momentarily to continue the same conversation. And please be patient with us as we take a longer than normal station break in the middle of the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show, because they have to localize the program with their own public service announcements while we air our own globally heard commercials. So don't go away. We'll be back as soon as possible after this station break with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of 3 New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gaddy. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries in the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group.org/podcast.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi. I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, that Solid Ground Christian Books is a primary, a premier, a vital sponsor of this program, and we are absolutely depending upon them to exist with their financial support that they provide through their advertising campaigns. So please go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, as frequently as you can and purchase as generously as you can, so that not only they will remain our advertisers, but also, infinitely more importantly, that you will be blessed by the finest in Christian literature, and that everyone for whom you purchase gifts from solid-ground-books.com will be blessed as well. And remember, keep in your gift giving from solid-ground-books.com those that are lost. Don't just purchase books for your Christian friends and loved ones, your brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord could use a good biblically based, theologically solid Christian book to draw the lost to salvation. So remember to keep them on your gift list from solid-ground-books.com. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to our program and introduce Dr. Joe Moorcraft of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, who is continuing the theme that we began with Gary DeMar, does the current rise of leftist tyranny mean the end is near? I just have a couple of announcements to make. First of all, if you love this show and don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensignradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you want to advertise with us, we sure could use your advertising dollars. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. and put advertising in the subject line, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. We would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we are in need, urgent need, of your advertising dollars. We are asking you please to help us at this time more than ever because the hysteria associated with the coronavirus pandemic has hurt many people financially in our audience, which means our giving has gone down drastically. And some folks have delayed advertising or cut back on their advertising. We are hurting as a result financially. If you love this show and you want us to stick around, you want us to remain on the air, please go to ironsharpensignradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and donate as generously as you can and as frequently as you can. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you live anywhere in the world, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the globe, and I may be able to help you find a church no matter where you live. I have helped people all over the planet Earth find churches, sometimes just within a few minutes' drive of their home that they didn't even know existed, or they didn't even know that they were biblically sound. I may be able to help you too. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Dr. Joe Moorcraft. And we are discussing, as I mentioned earlier, does the current rise of leftist tyranny mean the end is near? And that's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And let me welcome back to the program one of my favorite guests of all time, and it seems to be a very popular guest among many of my listeners who also view him as a favorite guest, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, author and pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. It's great to have you back, Dr. Moorcraft.
I love being with you, Chris.
And in fact, this is just a teaser for tomorrow, because we are going to have Dr. Moorcraft return for the full 2 hours on Tuesday the 9th of, what month is this, February? Tuesday the 9th of February, Dr. Moorcraft will be back for the full 2 hours. I don't believe we've picked a topic yet, but I'm sure whatever it is, it will be, it will get you riveted to your computers or your radios or however you listen to this program, because he always seems to be an enormous blessing to me and my audience. Dr. Moorcraft, very quickly, for those of you, for those of our listeners who are hearing you for the first time, tell us about Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia.
We're a small congregation in Cumming, Georgia, about 4 years old. We have about 60 members. They come from all over the place, from all kinds of backgrounds. We're committed to the inerrancy of Scripture, to the Westminster Confession of Faith and Catechisms, and to the carrying out of the Great Commission. And so we are, our people love the Lord. They are faithful in their lives, in their attendance, in their giving, in their service to God. And it's a great joy to be their pastor.
Amen. Well, if anybody is interested in finding out more about Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, especially if you are visiting that area, or if you already live in that area, or if you have family, friends, and loved ones who live in that area, go to heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. By the way, I hope you heard the enthusiasm in my first guest, Gary DeMar's voice, when he knew that I would be interviewing you right on the heels of his own interview.
Bless his heart, I did hear that, and I thank him for it.
Great. Well, this is just another one of those times, as you know, Dr. Moorcraft, when some people in the body of Christ, very well-intentioned, people who truly believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, they believe the Bible is real, they believe it has relevance to our lives over 2,000 years after, or at least over 2,000 years after the New Testament was written, even many more years after the Hebrew Scriptures were written, but they believe it is just as relevant today as it was in the days in which it was written. And they, I believe, are well-intentioned, but misguided when they immediately jump to the conclusion during a horrific and satanic trial that the world may be going through, or a specific nation may be going through. People believe that the end of the world was right around the corner during the rise of Hitler and the Nazi regime. And we could cite many more instances of that, if, even in our own day, in the 20th and 21st centuries. Why is it a harmful, I'm asking you the same question I asked Gary, why is it a harmful thing for the body of Christ to do that? And one image that is very well known. It's been featured in cartoons and comic strips and all kinds of artwork mocking Christianity. In fact, even Christians sometimes use it to mock those that are caught up in end times hysteria. Is the man with the washboard, he might even be ringing a bell, that says the end is near. And people view that as a way to make fun of Christians, because they know that has been happening for a very long time, even as far as our own consciences and memories go. It's been happening, you know, even within 100 years. And, of course, the end didn't come about. So, if you could.
Well, I'm sure Gary DeMar would agree with me when I say that the rise of Western tyrannies is a sign that the beginning is near, not the end.
Huh.
God's judgment clears the path. What did the flood do? Noah's flood got rid of all of the obstacles and cleared the path for the Noahic covenant and a new world. So I believe that God's judgment is for getting rid of the dross, purging the dross out of the American culture, and particularly out of the American church, bringing her to repentance, disciplining her and strengthening her so that she can lead the way in the preaching of the gospel and in living for Christ for the beginning of a new and greater reformation than we've ever had before. Now, I think I was talking to a man the other day, a good friend of mine, and he reads a lot, newspapers, keeps up to what's going on, as I do too, and you do. And he said, I don't see anything good on the horizon. I think it's over. That the world's coming to an end. America's through. I just don't see anything but dark clouds on the horizon. I said, so-and-so, I don't see anything but dark clouds on the horizon either. But I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. I remember one time a man was trying to refute postmillennialism. And he said, how can these postmillennialists be so confident of the triumph of the kingdom of God in history in the light of what they read in the newspapers? And I said, well, I don't get my doctrine out of the newspapers, that we are to walk not by what we see. I mean, look at Abraham. God told Abraham, this old shriveled up man and his wife, you're going to have a baby, and he's going to be the granddaddy, the savior of the world. And what did Abraham see? Everything Abraham saw was in contrast to that promise. There's nothing that he saw in his life, in his wife, in his marriage, that was consistent with that promise, but Abraham believed in spite of what he saw. He knew that God was going to be faithful to his promise of giving them in their old age a son who would be the child of promise, and through him eventually Jesus Christ would come into the world. And I think that's the problem that we have with Christians today. We are facing some terrible times, unless God intervenes in various ways. I think in the short term, it's going to be a very serious time and a dangerous time. And we're going to see the persecution of the church by the state, by society, by media, and by the church. Don't ever forget that when Samson was delivered over to the Philistines, it was the elders that took him to the temple where he eventually destroyed it. So there are going to be enemies on all sides. I'm preaching on John 7, great passage of scripture. And the title of that series on John 7 is called The Great War. And it's a war between Jesus and his enemies. It's not simply a war between Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals, modernists and traditionalists. It's a war between Christ and those who hate him. And in the seventh chapter of John, you see several groups that become enemies of Jesus. You have the apostate Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and their followers. You have this broader term in the Gospel of John called disciples, of thousands of people that would crowd around Jesus wherever we go. That doesn't, by calling them disciples in John, it doesn't mean that they're converted or they're saved. It means that in some sense they were enamored with Jesus, and they loved to be entertained by his miracles, and they stood in amazement at what he said, and they followed him everywhere he went for a while. But then in John 6, when he started talking about predestination and effectual calling, says many of them left him and walked with him no more. And then there's another group, and that is in the most important office holders in the church in the history of the world, the 12 apostles. One of them was an enemy of Christ, and to even cut Jesus more to the quick, his brothers in his own house that he grew up with thought he was insane and would not believe in him and treated him with mockery. So in all of that, we have enemies, and we're fighting them on every side, but the victory's already won. It's not that we've got to win the victory. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, won the victory over sin, Satan, the world, and now we are in a mopping up process. There's going to be pockets of resistance that sometimes will be greater and sometimes will be smaller. We've got to oppose those pockets of resistance and continue to build and continue to work and to continue to plant seeds and continue to act until we see success to our labors. There's a promise I think I've quoted every time on your show, but I quote it all the time anyway. And that is the promise where God says, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due time you shall reap if you do not faint. Doesn't say you might reap. It doesn't say, I say, I hope you reap, but you probably won't. It says, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due time you shall reap if you do not faint. And so people say, well, how can you say that and be so optimistic in the light of all the evil and perversion and wickedness in high places and low places and every aspect of American society? And I tell them that I believe that grace is stronger than depravity. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So Christians have got to get out of the thinking several presuppositions that they grew up with, I grew up with in my early days, and most Christians did in the 20th century. And that is, number one, that Jesus is going to come any second now, rapture Christians out of here. It's going to be a terrible tribulation. And the church never believed that until the 1830s. I believe Jesus is coming again, and when he comes, I believe that he shall come in triumph, literally, physically, majesty, and when he comes, he'll raise everybody from the dead. They'll stand before him on Judgment Day. He'll separate the sheep from the goats, and eternity with him begins forever. But in the meanwhile, between the two advents of Christ, between his advent 2,000 years ago and his second coming, whenever that's going to be in the future, the Bible promises that there's going to be a progressive growth of the kingdom of God in this world. Christians today emphasize the fact that the kingdom has come. In fact, liberals, that's all they talk about is realize eschatology, that the kingdom has come 2,000 years ago. On the other hand, the rapturists only talk about the harvest of the kingdom at the end of the age. And both the liberals and the fundamentalists make the same mistake. They do not see the growth of the seed. How do we get from the planting of the seed in Christ 2,000 years ago to the great consummate harvest of the seed at the end of the world? By growth of the seed, just like you plant a bean. How do you get from the bean you plant in the ground to a bunch of beans that you pick at the end of harvest? The growth of the seed. And we have neglected that because beginning in the late 19th century, people were very depressed. They were very emotionally pessimistic. And on that pessimism, and then you have World War I, and you have World War II, and those various things caused Christians who were walking by sight and not by faith to become theologically and culturally pessimistic and defeatist about the future. And so we lost our heritage. This view that we're going to lose in time and space and nothing's going to be any different is a new doctrine. It's not the faith of the church. It's not the faith of the Protestant church. It's not the faith of the Roman Catholic church. That the church has believed in the triumph of the kingdom in history before the return of Jesus Christ. I was raised in a rapturous type situation, and in my early ministry, when I was giving altar calls and holding revivals, and nobody was coming forward, I knew how to get people to come forward on the last night, and that was to preach a sermon on seven signs of the second coming. And that would so scare everybody to death that I knew there'd be a bunch of people come forward. Well, I've asked forgiveness for that through the years. But the idea of the rapture has emasculated us, coupled with the fact that the gospel doesn't have any relevance to culture. In the early part of the 19th, a friend of mine wrote a book on preachers in Scotland in the early part of the 19th century. And he said it was some of the greatest preaching in the history of the church. And what made it so great is that they never referred to current events in their sermons. Well, I believe that was the beginning of the end of preaching. I believe that was the beginning of the decline of preaching. You go through the preaching of Isaiah and the prophets and the rest, they're always referring to current events. I had another good friend of mine that I asked to teach. We were having a preaching class, and I wanted him to teach on Samuel Davies, who was Patrick Henry's pastor in Colonial Virginia. And he gave a lecture, and he said, what made Samuel Davies so, and he was in my church, and I loved him, and what he said, what made Samuel Davies so powerful is that he never got involved in politics and never preached on politics and political issues and social issues and economic issues. Well, I just smiled. I mean, I loved him, and I knew he was a great man, and I wasn't mad or anything. But I decided during the question and answer time, I would ask him a question. I said, Brother Smith, do you have those three volumes of Samuel Davies' sermons? He said, I do. I said, so do I. They're great, aren't they? He said, yes, they are. I said, those first two volumes of evangelistic sermons, I wish I could memorize them. He said, so do I. And I said, that third volume of political sermons, I wish I could memorize. And he just smiled and went on. But it's the faith of the church that the church will win, that it's a poor bridegroom that cannot keep his bride from being raped by the Antichrist. And so the bridegroom knows how to protect his bride and how to cause her to prosper in the world. And the gospel of Jesus Christ has relevance to every atom in the universe, every aspect of life on this planet. We often today talk about, ask people to perceive Jesus as their personal savior. Nowhere in the Bible is called a personal savior. I mean, he's a cosmic savior. He saves individuals, but he also saves cultures and the universe. He's going to transform sometime at the end of time. So we've got to get rid of these rapturist, Neoplatonic, which means physical, spiritual, physical, material things are evil, and we should only think about dying and going to heaven. We've got to get rid of those presuppositions that have emasculated the evangelical and parts of the Reformed Church for for almost 200 years.
By the way, I want to give a plug to an interview I did. Since you brought up Samuel Davies, I interviewed Dr. Dewey Roberts a couple of years ago, actually 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago to the day, February 13th, 2018. He wrote a book called Samuel Davies, Apostle to Virginia.
Read it.
And so I wanted to plug that interview if anybody wants to look it up in the IronTrippandZionRadio.com archive. Just type in Samuel Davies, D-A-V-I-E-S, and that will come up. Even if you just...
I have a book that Samuel Davies owned, and in the front cover, Samuel Davies wrote his name. So if anybody wants to get 20,000 years off purgatory, they can come to my house and touch that book.
By the way, do you mind if I start walking around the streets with a sandwich board? I think I mistakenly called it a washboard, but I meant a sandwich board, a sign around my neck that says, the beginning is near, and then have Joe Moorcraft underneath that.
I used to pastor in East Tennessee, and everywhere in East Tennessee were these pillars about 5 foot high, says Jesus is coming soon, made out of reinforced concrete.
We're going to our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other ones, so don't despair too much, folks. And if you have any questions for Dr. Moorcraft, please send them in immediately because we are rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. Be right back with Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors.
It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, with a donation to the Historical Bible Society of $35 or more, you'll receive a beautiful 44-page book, 9 by 12 in dimension, that looks like it's printed on parchment paper, of the genealogies of Jesus Christ. And these are prints. This artwork of these genealogies are prints taken directly from a first edition 1611 King James Bible, which is a part of the collection that the Historical Bible Society puts on display when they travel around to schools and churches and other institutions and organizations to put on this magnificent, breathtaking display of Bibles and books of antiquity, along with a phenomenal lecture by Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, on how we received the Bible in the English language. I strongly recommend that, especially if you live on the East Coast of the United States, that you invite Daniel P. Buttafuoco to speak at your church or organization and put on a display for the Historical Bible Society of these Bibles and books. But if you'd like to donate $35 or more to them, go to historicalbiblesociety.org, historicalbiblesociety.org, and ask for the free 44-page book, The Genealogies of Jesus. And you will love it, and you should put it on your coffee table and use it as an icebreaker with conversations when you have friends and family over, especially if they are not believers. historicalbiblesociety.org. We have a question from Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, who is a very faithful and loyal listener to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, in addition to being a very generous supporter financially of this program. He says, "Greetings, brothers Chris and Joe. It seems to me like most Christians need to get back into reading the Holy Scriptures. Do they not realize that we serve the true and living God? One only needs to read from Genesis to Revelation to see that we worship and serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Brother Joe, why do you think so many Christians are pessimistic when we should be looking for opportunities to share the truth?"
Well, that is a very important question. And I think there are some very important answers. Number one, rapturism has led us to believe that there's no use in trying to do anything because the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Number two, pietism based on old Greek Neoplatonism says that material, physical, social things are dirty and base, and we should only think about dying and going to heaven. And then thirdly is because over the past since the early 1800s, maybe middle 1800s, we've seen the democratization of Christianity, where the emphasis has been on the autonomy of man and not on the sovereignty of God. And as a result of America changing gods from the great, sovereign, omnipotent, merciful, just, wise God of the Reformation and the Bible to a weak and pathetic God that's dependent upon man, that cannot make any decisions until, first of all, man makes his decision. Because we've changed gods, because we've developed a pessimistic view of the future, because we don't see any relevance to what goes on in this life and what we do with our bodies, those are the basic reasons, in my opinion. Another reason is we left all those emphases in an earlier day when we came in the 20th century. Another emphasis is the abiding authority of God's law. Because we don't believe that there's any victory for the kingdom in time, we haven't tried to figure out any program for victory. And we forgot that that's what the law of God is. The law of God is a program on how to establish in your family, in your church, your community, your business, politics, nations, in every area of life, a God-glorifying society of liberty and justice for all. So we've left the law of God in the past. We've left the doctrine of the sovereignty of God in the past. We've left our understanding of victory in the past. We've left the importance of all areas of life in the past. And also, fifthly, we have lost the vision of sovereign grace. Is that in the 20th century, the preaching of sovereign grace, that is, God has mercy upon whom he has mercy, and he hardens whom he will, and when God sets his scope on someone to save him, he might resist for a while, but ultimately God's grace is irresistible. Once we lost that emphasis on sovereign grace, we don't have any power now. All we have is the power of man. So that's a long answer to a very important question. I'd like to mention, I mentioned a few minutes ago that I was a rapturist, raised in a rapturist Presbyterian church, and was a rapturist in my very early days as a minister. I want to read the, I'm talking about the 60s. I want to read the one verse that hit me between the eyes like a two before and changed my whole view of eschatology in the future. And it was in 1970 or thereabout when I read this verse in the Greek. And it changed everything for me and has continued to change everything for me. And I'll read the verse in the New American Standard Version, 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then comes the end when he delivers up the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power. Now I want to show you how your presuppositions can make you see things in the Bible that are not there. When I read that verse, as a rapturist, here's what I thought it said. Then comes the end, the second coming, when he delivers the kingdom to God, when he will abolish all rule and all authority and power. So I thought the verse was telling me that there's going to be hostile authority and power and rule in opposition to Christ until the second coming. And then at the end, when he comes again, then and not until then will he put down opposition. But now I'm going to read to you in Greek. I'm going to give you a literal translation of what it says in Greek. And if you don't believe me, just learn Greek and read it. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then comes the end when he delivers up the kingdom to the God and Father after he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power. So the end of the world and the second coming of Christ are not going to take place until after Christ has abolished all opposition against him in history. And the next verse says, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to return to earth and bring on the end of the world as we know it today until after he has abolished and put down all his enemies in history. There'll always be sinners. on this side of the second coming. As long as there's more crafts in this world, there'll always be sinners, and there'll never be utopia. But the world will be far better than it is now, so that Jesus Christ will come back to a world that has been authentically Christian for centuries. Now, for some people, that may be the first time they've heard it, but that's old-time religion. I didn't make that up. You see that throughout the Reformation, particularly in the early days of America. Why do you think the Pilgrims and the Puritans in Plymouth and Massachusetts Bay and Connecticut, all those early places, why did they come to this North America? Did they come to North America to learn how to play guitar and wait for Jesus to come? No. They came to America not just to convert the Indians, but to create a city on a hill, to create a Christian civilization on this continent that could be copied throughout the world. We've lost that concept today because of our understanding, and as a result, we're on the retreat. We've surrendered. We're negative. We're defeatistic. And I got to tell people, if you believe in defeat, you will not be disappointed.
And we have to make it clear, there are some people who automatically draw the very wrong, false conclusion. When you have critical things to say about rapturism, they automatically associate that with hyper-preterism. I'm not talking about partial preterism.
I know.
I'm talking about those who deny a future physical, visible return.
Oh, I know it. I mean, I believe the Apostles' Creed. And I believe that Jesus Christ is literally, historically, coming again at the end of history. And I believe if you don't believe that, you're a heretic.
Right. Amen. And you've mentioned an interesting phrase that I think is key here to some of our discussion. Old-time religion. There are too many people who think old-time religion means something that is true just because their granddaddy and great-granddaddy and great-great-granddaddy believed it, maybe going back to the early 1900s or something. But some of the things that have been taught in regard to eschatology and other things, like even the altar call and some of these other things, didn't even appear in Christendom in history until the 19th century. And that's not a very old-time religion.
No, I mean, anything that's happened in the past 150 years is new religion. It's not old-time religion. People often come to our church and they don't hear some songs they expect us to sing, like I Come to the Garden Alone, things like that. And they say, how come you don't sing the old songs? And I said, well, we sing two things. We sing very few songs written in the 1930s. We don't like songs you can waltz to. The songs we sing are written over the past 100 years. Some of them are 1900 years old. So the old time religion to me is the religion of the Protestant Reformation, the Apostolic Church, the faithful people of God, and there were some throughout the Middle Ages, like the Waldensians, and the religion of the Bible, the religion of the Old Testament. The 20th century is not a model to use for our worship, our singing, our evangelism, our theology. The 20th century and now the 21st is the history of declension. But God is going to bring it crashing down and clear the way for a new day. There is a book I'd like to recommend people real quick. I know we're toward the end. It's written by a modern Frenchman named Cordial, Cordial, called A New Day of Small Beginnings.
Great. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners also have your website. It is heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. I also want to remind our listeners, those of you who are not aware of this, that sadly I was the victim of a car rental fraud and have been robbed of over $500. If you will find it within your heart to help us recover that with a donation, our website is ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. That's IronSharpensIronRadio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. Then please pray for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain on the air for a long time to come, if indeed you do love the show. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Moorcraft, for being our guest again. I look forward to your return to the show tomorrow. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. We look forward to hearing from you and your questions for Dr. Moorcraft tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.